1859, founded Mary Fellowship of Toronto, and later developed and built congregations in 8 summer of Willowdale, Ontario. He subsequently served as Rabbi Yoni of Red Hempstead, and from there, from Red Hempstead, he made Aliyah. He's the founder and rabbi of Kiryat Yehoshua, Yisro Yosef, and Harnos Yerushalayim, and the founder and dean of the Jerusalem College of Adults. It is my pleasure to call upon Rabbi Shlomo Gold, who will speak to the theme of this Halakha Makkah, planning your future.
Why didn't you tell them when I, what kindergarten I... Thank you very much. Four 4,000 years ago, one man began a journey, and he changed dramatically the face of the world. Avraham Avinu's unquestioning obedience to the divine imperative of Lech Lecha Me'Arzecha U'Me'Moladecha U'Me'Beit Avicha El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha, leave home, birthplace, family, and go to the land that I will show you. As he begins that journey, he sets in motion a process that continues till his very day. Avraham Avinu could have asked God, but I found you in Ur Kasdim. I discovered you in the pagan and heathen environment of Mesopotamia. I discovered a God that Molo Kol Ha'aretz Kavodo. His glory fills the entire world. I discovered Kel Elyon Konei Shamayim Va'aretz. And yet, you tell me to go to this little speck of land, not large enough for its name to appear on it on a map, and there you will show me what I can really be. But Avraham didn't ask. He didn't doubt. With determination, with anticipation, he sets out to commence the amazing march of the Jewish people throughout history. The direction, the destination, the destiny of Klal Yisrael always was to Eretz Yisrael. By virtue of Hashem's command, he knows that this is God's dwelling place too. Ki vochar Hashem b'tzion, God has chosen Tzion. Evil and Moshe of Lo, he desired that it be the place of his dwelling. The march of history, during which the Jewish people has scaled great heights, and we've also been all the way down to the worst depths. We've experienced victory, we've experienced defeat, but never despair. We always pick ourselves up and keep going. We continue to move, we regroup, we rebuild, and the destination always is Eretz Yisrael. No people in history has suffered as much as our people. No people has survived the devastation that we have. No people was ever exiled from their native land and returned en masse 2,000 years later. No people has ever risen from the destruction that we did and only 3 years later establish a state here in Eretz Yisrael. The story of Jewish history is indeed the march of a living people. Remember when I was when I graduated Torah V'Das, in those days when you graduated elementary school, one of the things that took place at graduation was a declamation contest. There would be a few students who would be chosen, or the whole student body, and they would get up and say, recite a poem. I imagine I wasn't too bad because I was one of those who was chosen. And I remember that poem that I read at the graduation. It's called The Eternal Riddle. I'll just read a few stanzas. Israel, my people, God's greatest riddle. Will thy solution ever be told? Fought, never conquered. Bent, never broken. Mortal, immortal. Youthful, though old. Egypt enslaved thee, Babylon crushed thee, Rome led thee captive, homeless thy head. Where are those nations mighty and fearsome? Thou hast survived them, they are long dead. Nations keep coming, nations keep going, passing like shadows, wiped off the earth. Thou, an eternal witness, remainest, bearing the message, God is but one. I have to tell you, the only competition that I had at my graduation was somebody else in my class who read a poem entitled Casey at the Bat. I won. Hands down. There's absolutely no way, and here we're getting to our message. There is absolutely no way for a religious Jew, certainly a Ben Torah, to avoid the challenge of Eretz Yisrael. It keeps imposing itself on us. If we're alive Jewishly, it tugs at our sleeves, it nudges at our side, it invades our consciousness, it pulls at our hearts. We really have no choice but to confront Eretz Yisrael in the fullness of our intellect and our neshama. Try it someday. I've done it often. Try someday, if you have the courage, to really listen to what you say in davening day after day after day. The onslaught of Eretz Yisrael begins at the very outset of your davening. You say Hodu. Zichru l'olam brito, remember forever the covenant, dovor tzivo le'elev dor, that which God has commanded to a thousand generations. Arshet korat et Avraham, a covenant that he made with Avraham, Ushua told Yitzchak, and he made it an oath to Yitzchak. Vayamideh l'chok li'Yakov, and he made it a statute for Yaakov. L'Yisrael brit olam, for Yisrael is an eternal covenant. What is this covenant? What is this Shavuah? What is this Chok Olam? Lema, to tell you, Lecha Eten Eretz Kenan. To you I'm going to give the land of Kenan. Very outset of the davening. Biyotchem Metei Nisfar Kim'at V'Gorimba. When you were but few people, and you were just only then coming to Eretz Yisrael, there's a beautiful parish of Rav Kook, where Rav Kook says that there's a dramatic difference between the relationship of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and the relationship of any other people with their native lands. By all other people, it's something that develops over a period of time and may take centuries. There have to be all sorts of experiences connected with the land, with the earth, with the people. Klal Yisrael kima. When you are just a few people, kimat v'garibo, you would only just come in then. From that moment and further, Eretz Yisrael became part of the consciousness of the Jewish people. It's a divine bond, a divine connection. And we're never going to get it out of our system. All other people, in order that they should establish themselves, it takes time, sometimes centuries, until a soul bond is formed with the land. Not so our relationship with Eretz Yisrael. Avraham Avinu enters the land, and that divine connection begins. The call to Eretz Yisrael is insistent, it's unrelenting. One needs an overdose of cognitive dissonance to be able to make their way through davening without a sense of the significance that Eretz Yisrael is in Jewish life. You're right there innocently getting ready to say Kriyat Shema. Maher v'havei oleinu brocha v'sholom me'arba kampot kol ha'aretz shvor oleinu break the yokes, me'on tzavareinu, v'tolichenu, and bring us, come imiyot le'artzeinu. What are we talking about? What are you saying? We beg of God right before Kriyat Shema, bring us, standing tall, le'artzeinu. And if you think you're finished then you come to most probably that which is the most significant expression of our hashkafa with regard to Eretz Yisrael, particularly now. This is what Dr. Bodenheimer was talking about. You come into Shmon Ezra. I don't know how you do it. I'll tell you. I'm going to give you a guilty conscience. I'm going to make it rough for you. Baruch Aleinu, bless the land. God, bless the land, saying, Talu Vata Levrocha Alpnei Adama. What are we talking about? The Catskills? What are we talking about? Which land? For which land do we pray that it should be fruitful? We're praying for Eretz Yisrael. And what do we say immediately after that? To count the shofar Gadol Lechenisenu, sound the great shofar for our freedom, bring us home, Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what we're saying every day, three times a day. The Gemara in the Sechs and the Gila, that Yud Zayin on the bed says, Borei Cholenu describes the great revealed end of days when Eretz Yisrael is going to be able to sustain a population. Do you understand that 100 years ago, very little grew in this land? When did the land begin to give out its fruit? Only when Jews started coming home. The land already instinctively knew that Jews are on their way. This is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Omar Ababa, Ein Lecha Keitz Megula Mizu, there's no greater revealed end of days than this. And he quotes that great pasuk in Yechezkel. I love that pasuk. Va'atem Hore Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Amtechem Titeinu, give out your branches, Ufer Yechem Tisu, and carry your fruit, La'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, Ki Kervu Lavo, because the time of their arrival is growing close. They're coming home. A land that was unfriendly, that was arid, that was dry, that could never sustain a population. 100 years ago, it starts to give out its fruit, because it knows that Klal Yisrael is coming. Ein l'chok keitz megulam is no greater revealed end of days. There are great movements in Moshe. There are great things happening here. Remember, I learned here in Yeshiva in 55 and 56. We didn't have too much food here, but nobody went hungry. The staple of our diet was tomatoes. Tomatoes. After I came home from 2 years learning in Eretz Yisrael, I couldn't eat a tomato for 20 years. 20 years. I remember after my first or second day in Panevish, one of the elder rabbis comes over to me and tells me that Ataluya Deya. I'm going to teach you how to eat an agvania. And he took a knife, a sharp knife, and a fork, and he cuts open an agvania for me, and he shows me the inside of the agvania. This is the basar, these are the atzamot. He looks like he's describing the steak to me, a kosher delight. At 46th Street and 13th Avenue. And you know what? He was describing the steak. That was the steak on which we live. But we didn't turn out much the worse for it. It's a whole different story today. Eretz Yisrael has reached the point where it exports food. This is all a divine bracha. Yechezkel prophesied it. I remember then also, there were 2 eggs a week, and I think about 1 ounce or 2 of meat per each student. Now, from the 1 ounce of meat, they made meatballs 2 times a week. Now, how do you take 1 ounce of meat and turn it into a meatball? They mixed it with a lot of bread, a lot of challah. They told me in the yeshiva, that's the pshat invention. Who knows a lechem lechol bazar? And we survived. I'm telling you, we survived. And we learned Torah b'asmada rabba. But it's a new world, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has developed beyond anybody's anticipation. There's a divine bracha here. I tell you, sometimes I have a problem when I go to weddings in the States. I even got up at one wedding and told everybody what upset me. Especially at the Shweki one. Sos Tosis, the Togel Lakoro, one of the brachas, Sheva brachas. There are songs, they sing it, they dance it. But you know what it says? Sos Tosis, the Togel Lakoro. The barren woman should be full of joy and happiness. The kibbutz boneho letocha, the simcha, when her children, her sons, are gathered into her in great joy. Baruch atah Hashem, misameach tzion b'vaneho. Who's the akara? The akara is Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. The great joy is when her children return home. That's what she's waiting for. We can sing it. We can sing it, but it has to be lived. Remember, I was once in someplace in Brooklyn with my wife. We went into one of these stores that sell cassettes. You know, you have to go in with earplugs. They're banging away, and there was a new cassette that they said this is the greatest. This is the greatest. So we bought it, put it into the. It was just a few years ago. There was still. Tape decks in cars. We don't have that. That's not too often now. They're onto discs. And we start listening to this song. My wife said, listen to that. I want to go home. Oh, I want to go home where I'll be proud, where I'll be strong, where I'll stand tall. To Jerusalem of old, Jerusalem of gold. I want to go home. So my wife gives a yell at the cassette. So go home! Go home! What's stopping you? And then we get it. When Mashiach comes, I'm gonna go home. I'm not so sure about that. You want to go home? So tosses the Togel Akora, you can do it. And how long will Chassanim say Meshkachech Yerushalayim Tishkaf Yemini in Flatbush or the atrium in Muncie or who knows where else it might be? And how many times are we going to continue going through a Seder and a Yom Kippur L'shonah Boloi B'Yerushalayim, and they get all excited and they dance around and they jump around? You can do it. You can do it. You people have a very special challenge. I think it's qualitatively different than the challenge that has faced most Jews throughout the last 2,000 years. And I'll tell you why. We'll go through it briefly. Number one, somebody has to tell you there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. We once tried to go through Tanakh and see where there it says that there's a mitzvah to live in Toronto or New York or Teaneck, and we didn't find. I'm telling you, we didn't find. From Bereshis unto end of Divrei Hayamim, unless we missed something. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazon Ish writes one line. Chazon Ish writes, Ukvar Huchra, Halacha, the Halacha has already been decided, like the Rambam and the Rambam, that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. V'yodua, it is known, Kamoshoaf HaChofetz Chaim, La'alos Eretz, how much the Chofetz Chaim wanted to go on Aliyah. I remember the apocryphal story told about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman. Here is this fellow that from Chutz Laretz, who makes an appointment to see Rav Shlomo Zalman. What did he do? He prepared all of the Rishonim and the Akronim and all the Hakiris with regard to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's a Daraisa, it's a Dachabanan, it's Chiyuvis, it's Chiyumis, it's an Aveva, you know. And he comes, and finally comes into Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he starts packing out all the Torah. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, in his inimitable way, able, says, it's not important. This dude from Chutz La'aretz, who's prepared months for this meeting, says, was named what do you mean it's not important? He says, it's not important. The Reis, the Rabbanon, Chiyuvis, Chiyumis, it's not important. Open up a Chumash, and you'll see that Ritzon Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, is he wants his children here. I remember before I made Aliyah, only to confirm what I believe, I spent an amazing hour and a half with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha. What a great man. They were all great men. And he told me, Sholem, you should know it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today like it always was. And if I could, he was 92 at the time. If I could, I would go now to the airport and get on a plane and go to Eretz Yisrael, but I can't. And I know why he can't. And there isn't why he couldn't. There isn't a single one of you that has that excuse. Number two. For so many years, travel to Eretz Yisrael involved great danger. The land was desolate. It was unfriendly. Hardly able to support any kind of population. But all of that has changed dramatically. Standard of living here is just about as good as it is in most places of the world. Your great challenge is that you are one of the rare generations in the last 2,000 years who can make a conscious choice to go on Aliyah. You're not fleeing from anti-Semitism. You're not running from persecution. You're not escaping grave danger. You can stand up and make a conscious Jewish choice. I believe most people don't understand Rav Meshach's Psak Halacha. And also, Rav Soloveitchik said the same thing. I've heard it, you know, buddies of mine. After this conversation, they're usually former buddies of mine who tell me, come on, you're talking about Eretz Yisrael again. Rav Meshach said it's only a mitzvah kiyumis. It's not a mitzvah kiyumis. You don't have to go. If you go, all right, so you'll fill a mitzvah. They don't get it. They don't get it. For me, before I came on Aliyah, Rav Meshach's Psak Halacha was absolutely amazing. I love that Psak Halacha at Hayom Hazeh. Do you know what the Meshach Rav Soloveitchik are saying? I don't even have the coercion of a mitzvah. I can make a free, conscious decision in the fullness of my Yiddishkeit. Not even a mitzvah coerces me. I can choose to do Ritzon Hashem. I can choose to become part of Jewish history. What an amazing opportunity that is. It's not only a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a mitzvah kiyumis, and I can choose to be mekayem it. Your greatest challenge is to take advantage of that ability to make a conscious choice. I remember hearing somebody once talking about the famous Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that there are three mitzvahs, three great gifts that were given by God to the Jewish people, and all of them were given only with suffering. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam HaBa. Anything that you acquire in life needs suffering in order that you should acquire it and you should appreciate it. And the fellow was talking about Torah. And after he finishes talking about Torah, he says, "It's because of Torah, we will someday be zochah to live in Eretz Yisrael." So I got up and I said, "I don't understand what you're talking about. Could you imagine a Jew turning to the Rabbi Yishmael and saying, 'You gave us a great gift, Torah.'" Torah is the gift. You know, Rabbi Yishmael, "No, thank you. You don't have to go out of your way. It's okay. I don't really need it." Can you imagine somebody saying, Olam Haba is a good design. Great gift. Really, you don't have to go out of your way for me. I don't really need your Olam. It's okay, you can keep your Olam Haba. But there are so many people, unfortunately, that can say, "Matana Tova? No, thank you. I'll pass on the Matana of Eretz Yisrael. I'll pass." There's a third point that I want to make. Anybody who studies Tanakh, and if you haven't studied Tanakh up until now, you better start doing it now. There are dozens, scores of psukim that describe exactly what's happening in our time. See, Savivenayach, lift up your eyes and look all around. Kulam nigvitzu boloch. They've all gathered and they're coming home. There are 5.5 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael today, coming close to 6 million Jews. Eretz Yisrael today is most probably the largest Jewish community in the world. This is the center of Jewish life. Klal Yisrael pulsates and lives from here. Look what's happened over here. Unparalleled and unprecedented in all of history. You're going to leave the Golus with joy, and in peace you're going to come. There will be joy in all of nature as Jews come home. Your sons are going to come from the distance. Your daughters are going to be carried to Eretz Yisrael. One of the recurrent themes, beginning with Parshas Nitzav, "V'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvut Chomerichamecha V'shav V'kibetz Chomikol Ha'amim," where the Gemara says there will be kibbutz dolios. It's the theme throughout Tanakh. We see that being fulfilled before our very eyes. I've said on a number of occasions, I don't need any sophisticated proofs that Torah is true. Nobody has to prove to me that Torah is true. See, suddenly not. Just take a look around. The fulfillment of psukim that were written 2,500, 3,000 years ago. It's all happening. It's alive. Of course Torah is divine. The Shavu Me'eretz Oyev, the Shavu Banim L'Gvulam. Two promises that God makes to Rachel. There will be v'shavu me'eretz oyev, those who will return from the land of the enemy. Those are the ones who run from persecution. Those who are the ones who flee anti-Semitism. Those are the ones who escape from danger. But there's a completely different category, and that's your category. V'shavu banim l'gvulam, children coming home. You choose to fulfill the Tzon Hashem. I want to take you one step further. Do you know what that means? You're not, to use Brisker terminology, you're not a chetzer. You're not an object battered by history or the vicissitude of time. You know what you are? You're gather. Men who have the ability to choose. And do you know what you choose when you come to Eretz Yisrael? Retroactively, it means all of those psukim that you hear, Miyo, Yishayahu, Yecheskel, Hosea, Amos, all those psukim, you know who they're talking about? You. You inscribe yourself in Tanakh. You make yourself part of Torah. That's awesome. It's heavy. It's intoxicating to feel, I'm Torah. That pasuk was talking about me. That's exactly who Yeshayahu had in mind. It's me, and I did it. Chaim Waxman, the sociologist, I think from Rutgers, wrote a book some years ago about American Aliyah. And he describes American Olim as free migrants of an innovative nature. Got that? Free migrants of an innovative nature. That's what we're talking about. You can choose. You can choose to do the Tzon Hashem. This was an opportunity that was not available to most Jews during the course of the last 2,000 years. God sends messages. If you made your way through davening in the morning and were assaulted by all of the psukim that talked about Eretz Yisrael, keep looking. You should get depressed when you come to benching. I don't know how I did it when I was in futsal. It used to break me up. No de lecho Hashem Elokeinu, God Almighty, thank you. Al shenchalto avoteinu, you gave our fathers Eretz Kanda Tova Rechava. But no thanks. Do you know what a difference it is benching when you live in Eretz Yisrael? No de lecho Hashem Elokeinu for benching, you gave us a great gift. To take opportunity, take that great opportunity. The Vavenshom sends messages. The Warren Bracha says, Bechol yom v'yom, there's a bat call that goes out, woe to children who have been exiled from the table of their Father in Heaven. I want to tell you, I can't let you leave tonight without telling you the story of the message that I received. You're also going to receive messages. And those messages, you will be able to receive them only if you're tuned in. If you're on the wavelength, we're going to get it. It was November of 1981. I was living in West Hempstead, and I had to make the decision whether I'm going to accept the job and go on Aliyah. We had five teenage children. The finest, finest time to take a family on Aliyah. Five teenage children. And the fact is that we had come for a year sabbatical, we came back, and the family, the children all voted to go on Aliyah, but finally the decision had to be mine. I'm going to have to give up a great job, a community that I love. West Hempstead is a beautiful place. A lot of very, all nice people. And you know, a parnassah, and parnassah is not something to sneeze at. It's very, very significant. So here it is. I have to make the decision. I have to notify Eretz Yisrael. And I can't make the decision. It's scary. I'm telling you, it's scary. It may not be that scary for you. You'll be young people. You can go back or stay. Finish your education. Don't come until you've finished your education. You can stay here and go to Machon Lev. You can go back and go to Yeshiva University or any other place you want. Finish your education and then come home. But for me, it was an extremely difficult, very difficult decision. I was a basket case. It was a scary decision to make. On the block that I lived, Colonnade Road in West Hempstead, about five houses away, a family of Balei Tshuva had moved in some years earlier, and we became very close to them, very friendly. And one day they come and they say, Rabbi, we're going on Aliyah. I said, why are you going on Aliyah? So they said, well, you know, since we're here in the shul, we've been listening to the reading of the Torah every week, and it's all about Eretz Yisrael. Everything's Eretz Yisrael. Can't get away from it. So we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Simple, unsophisticated, yet profound. They're going on Aliyah. They had a dog, Charlie. Now, I don't like dogs. I don't like dogs. But Charlie sort of made his way into my life. I'd meet him in the street, he'd come and snuggle up. And then, this was a dog with derech eretz for a rav. This dog knew who I am and what I represent. And we became very friendly. And, you know, I pat the dog, and I run home, of course, and wash my hands, you know, and take a shower. But all right. They went on Aliyah, and they left Charlie in West Hempstead with foster parents on the block. And these foster parents would take Charlie out, usually about 10 or 11 o'clock at night for a walk. That was usually the time that I would go out to think over a shiur, think about a speech that I have to make. And I'd usually meet Charlie, and Charlie would come running to me. He knew the rabbi. And here it is, it's the night that I have to make a decision, and I simply can't make the decision. And I'm walking in the streets of West Hempstead. Vihine. The foster parents are coming with Charlie. Charlie comes running over to the rabbi. He snuggles, and I make nice to him. Good dog, Charlie. And then the foster parents tell me, Rabbi, you won't believe it. We got a call from Israel today. They bought a ticket for Charlie. Charlie's going on Aliyah. I gave a scream on the street. That hood, that dog is going to go on Aliyah, and I won't. I came home. We made the decision, and we came on Aliyah. If there is a heaven for dogs, Charlie is there. The Rebbeinu sends messages all the time. There's the bus call that comes from Chodek. There's the bus call saying, Chevre, I want you home. Kibbutz Bonel, the sofa. And maybe what's more important than anything else, the finest group of people, albeit the Western Olim. I go to weddings, I go to bar mitzvahs in my own community, I meet people of substance, people with idealism. They're an unusual community. I feel proud to be part of the Olim community in Eretz Yisrael. You can't begin to imagine the real contributions that they've made to Jewish life and life in general here in Eretz Yisrael. In Torah, building Torah institutions, science, medicine, technology, finance, you name the field, from religious, Olim are making an impact here, the kind of impact they can never make anywhere else. Here they're making it for us, for them, for Klal Yisrael. You can make a difference. There are times that I can't sleep at night when I think 100,000 Olim, religious Olim from the United States, we can make a revolution over here, transform this country into the most exceptional country on the face of this earth. We can, you come here, you bring your sense of fairness, your true understanding of democracy, an ethics, a morality, an expertise. What a tremendous contribution you could make by living here. Aside from the mitzvah, chiyumis, kiyumis, the araisi, the rabbana. It's an unusual community to be part of. But you have to be tuned in. You have to receive the message. Everybody needs his Charlie. You have the opportunity to follow Avraham Avinu. You have the opportunity to continue and complete that journey that he started, began 4,000 years ago. You can impose and inscribe yourself in Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. They were talking about you. One final point. Every so often my wife finds some good word on the internet. So she prints it out. Now, when you print something out of significance, where do you put it? You guess, on the fridge. For about 2-3 years it was there on the fridge. I saw it every time I went. A great word by Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt said, "He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived." I'm going to say it again. Now get ready, let it go into your kishkat. "He who does not participate in the passion of his time will be judged as not having lived." Klal Yisrael's passion is Eretz Yisrael. The great opportunity that we've been given. You can make that decision. You can make a difference. You can join Avraham Avinu. You can become part of the great march of the living throughout all of Jewish history. You can come here and raise your families here. You can be a Kiddush Shem Shamayim. And I'll tell you, I have a sneaky suspicion Charlie is going to have a lot of nachas from you if you make that decision. Think about it. Go home. No, I'm sorry. Go back. Do whatever you have to do. Get your education. But then, take the great step. Pick yourself up. Become part of Tanakh. Make yourself part of Torah. The Nevi'im were talking about you. You're not the ones that are returning the edits, O Yehi, from the land of the enemy. You are the Bonim, the Shavu Bonim Ligulam. I hope and pray that the Rebbe Shem will give you the wisdom, the strength, the determination, and the ability to do just that. Thank you.
Some of you may have seen the sheet that was given out concerning the pub by the name of Jam, which many yeshiva guys and gals who learn here for a year postulate frequent. You understand from the other side.